analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central at noon. AL Wildcard / NL Wildcard Edition. I'm Jeff Blair. That gentleman to my left is the lovely and talented Kevin Barker.
Hello.
Got a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Royals and the Oakland Athletics last night, 9, 8, and 12 innings for the Royals.
Heard there's a lot of role changes going on, too, in Major League Baseball.
We'll talk about that later on. I know you want it. You got something to say about that, and that's fine. Major League Baseball's putting a bunch of rules in designed to speed up the pace of the game in the Arizona Fall League, and we'll let Barker talk about that because I know you've got a few things you want to say about that. Want to talk about last night's game, though. I don't even know where to start. What went through your mind when you saw Ned Yost take James Shields out of the game, which I was kind of okay with at that time, but then bring in a guy who just pitched on Sunday, a starter.
73 pitches on Sunday.
Because, well, I don't go to my seventh inning guy till the seventh inning.
Well, it makes sense. I think James Shields wasn't pitching well. I don't think he really had a choice.
No, but
it may be questioning who he went to.
Right.
Because there's probably better guys you could go to, but I mean, let's face it, James Shields wasn't pitching the way he normally does. He wasn't. James Shields is a guy that throws changeups to set up fastballs in at that 93 to 95 range. He couldn't do that yesterday for one reason or the other. And when you can't do that and your manager has to go, you know, he's relying on his best pitcher to go a certain amount of innings so he can set it up the way he wanted to set it up. And then when he wasn't going seven innings or six innings, then he's he's searching. And it seemed like Ned sometimes has a little trouble when he has to search. I guess it worked out in the long run, maybe.
Yeah, well.
They won. I guess that's all that mattered. He could say, hey, we won.
Yeah. I mean, God love him. He's America's going to have to get used to the full Ned Yost experience. And it's funny because all year long, you try to watch as much baseball as you can, but I'd be lying if I said I focused on the Kansas City Royals, but a couple of friends of mine, guys like Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports, mm-hmm. who do watch the team or in some cases cover the team, they all made the same point. They said, you got to see some of the crap Ned Yost pulls off in the middle of the game. It's like, just blow your mind. And we saw that last night. Now, we also saw the Kansas City Royals steal seven bases. Really taking advantage, frankly, once Giovanni Soto was out of the game with that thumb injury, Derek Norris coming in. Derek Norris nowhere near the defensive catcher Giovanni Soto is. But, Kevin, I don't know, some of those jumps they got, I don't even know if Giovanni Soto would have made a difference.
Well, I think it's all about your starting pitching, right? Yeah. I think they have to understand who they're facing and how that team wants to score runs off you.
Because we talked about it yesterday when Rex Hudler was on here. I mean, he forecast they're going to steal a lot of bases. The way they are.
They get on. We're telling you right now we're running.
Yeah.
So why not just throw? If you throw over three times in a row and it's horrible, why? Who cares? At least you're throwing over. They have it in the back of their mind that you may throw over. I mean, they're even trying to steal home with two outs. That when you have the little trick play at first base with Billy Butler, you're trying to trick guys and get easy runs. And I mean, it's just, I think what it was, gets down to is Oakland is not a very good defensive team. And Kansas City took advantage of that. And when you get to playoff time, it's all about playing good defense and getting timely hits and pitching well. And they didn't do two out of three of those things.
Now, the Royals go on to face the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, a team in Mike Scioscia, a guy totally different than Ned Yost, a guy who's been considered for the longest time sort of one of the model managers, a very smart manager. And I'm not really casting aspersions on Ned Yost. I'm just saying that Mike Scioscia for the longest time was kind of the model manager, and there was always a sense that Mike Scioscia would get. He would get stuff right. How do you like the matchup for Kansas City going in against L.A.?
I think you're going to see a lot of throwovers. I think the Angels are going to stop running game.
Yeah.
Somehow they're going to figure out whether it's pitch outs, whether it's trick plays. They're trying to pick guys off with, say, first and second. They're going to do a lot of little things to try to keep the running game. Because let's face it, KC, that's how they're going to score runs. They're not going to hit the ball out of the yard. They're not going to probably hit a lot of doubles.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get on base by what Rex said, by hitting the little blooper up the middle, getting on base, and wreaking havoc. Go until somebody tags us out. And I think that's going to be between the two teams. I think one team is going to rely on hitting doubles, getting them on, getting them over, meaning doing every little small thing to score runs. And the other team is going to be just the opposite. I think they could run in. And you have to remember, the Angels have the best player on the planet in Mike Trout. So
you made a point when we were talking before he came in the air about John Lester and some of the decisions he was making pitching.
Well, it's very confusing to me when you face a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs, meaning most of the time guys that hit home runs have longer swings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes you see people with long swings, guys that hit a lot of home runs, pitchers pitch those guys in because it's hard to get their arms extended and get the bat head out in front of the plate. With that being said, John Lester pitched just the opposite of that yesterday. He was throwing balls mainly in and would throw an occasional breaking ball away, which that makes no sense to me because, like I said, guys that hit, say, the ball the other way, the singles up the middle, they have short, quicker swings, and the ball closer to them, it's easier for those guys to hit the ball. And it seems to me like the approach with John Lester was just the opposite of what we normally see. Normally he goes away, he establishes a way down and away with the fastball to put you away in, but he was throwing mainly 95% in, which that's a little confusing to me. I wasn't really understanding. And you made the point where he wasn't used to the catcher. Well, with Soto, it gets back to the fact that everybody has a scouting report. They knew going in what KC was.
And you're John Lester, too.
Exactly right. And, you know, maybe he felt like he could get this team out in.
Right.
That's the only thing I can figure. But
the game ended so dramatically. And I think something that kind of gets overlooked in it, and we were talking about some of the decisions Ned Yost made, and the winning hit, Salvador Perez. I want to show this for our viewers at home. I want you to walk me through this. Two strikes. It's an 84-mile-an-hour slider in the outside corner. And it's just such a nice piece of hitting.
It is. Well, Salvador Perez has been struggling. That's why he's flipping and breaking balls. And I know earlier in the game, he got three breaking balls in a row, I think.
Yeah, from Luke Gregerson.
Exactly right, to strike him out. So the report was try not to throw him strikes. Get ahead of him and make him chase. Because when guys struggle, they chase out of the zone, meaning they don't swing at strikes. And right here, it was a really good pitch. Sometimes you get beat making a good pitch. And right here, it was just – I think sometimes you have to say that it's just one team's year.
Yeah.
And right now it's KC's year. Just what they do, they create havoc.
Well, and Salvador Perez, Salvador Perez, by the way, was 0-for-5 before his winning hit. And that does get lost in it. That was a hell of a pitch from Luke Gregerson.
It was.
You can't walk up and put it any better than where he put it.
Yeah, sometimes you just get beat by a better swing or maybe a better approach or maybe it was just luck.
Long arms, man.
Sometimes
your long arms come through.
Sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good.
So there you go. The Royals beat the Athletics. They'll go on to play.
I will say this.
Yep.
I wanted to make this point that now Adam Dunn has the same amount of playoff at-bats that I do. Zero. It's very confusing. That was very confusing to me. That wasn't confusing to you whatsoever that he didn't – he wasn't in the game at all yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say so many things confused me in that game, but a lot of that was on the other side. I'm just checking. I don't know if they're an injury.
I don't think he's hurt. I didn't see that he was.
And that's an interesting point. 14 years. He never got to...
2001 games, I believe.
Yeah, 2001 Major League games, most of any active player. Hasn't been in the postseason. He's going to quit now. I believe that may leave Toronto Blue Jays fan favorite Alex Rios as a guy very close to the to the lead.
I'm just saying when you've had your team's had trouble scoring runs. Not saying yesterday they obviously were scoring runs yesterday.
Yeah.
But that just it's weird that he wasn't a factor at all in that game. That's just I'm really confused about that. I just don't understand why. Even late in the game you pinch hit him or you bring him up, it gives Ned Yost something else to think about.
Hear what your boy Pedro Martinez had to say about Ned Yost.
What?
Ned Yost pitching decisions, the post-game show. No, this is Pedro Martinez on Twitter. I think Ned Yost had a panic move and almost gave the game again. If they would have lost, he would have been the ugly goat. What Ned Yost is saying about bringing in Ventura, it's horrible. How much gas do you want? Why don't you just go and get a gas station?
Have to call a spade sometimes.
Absolutely. I'll
ask you this real quick. Where does Oakland go now?
Wow.
Well, we'll say around the All-Star break, they were gearing up to win it. Now they're going home. They're the first team to go home.
What happens? They're not going to have John Lester. He's going to walk as a free agent. They do have Jeff Samardzija for another year. I'll tell you what I might do. And they gave up Addison Russell, who's a cornerstone offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
A cornerstone prospect, I should say. If I'm Billy Bean, I might make a call and see what I can get for Jeff Samardzija.
You think so?
I might turn around and trade Jeff Samardzija.
You think they clean house and start over?
I don't know if you have to clean house. But, I mean, look, this is a team that hit .433 after the All-Star break. That's a low – I'm sorry, not hit .433. Had a .433 winning percentage. If they hit .433, they wouldn't be in the wild card game.
No.
.433 winning percentage after the All-Star break. That's the worst of any team that's made it to the playoffs. Their leadoff hitter, Coco Crisp, couldn't get on base after the All-Star break. They had some issues. Brandon Moss, a hip issue, a hip injury, fairly serious hip injury.
Don't have a cleanup hitter.
Don't have a cleanup hitter. You lost him and Yonas Cespedes. I'm almost wondering if maybe you don't. Start I don't know over. If you blow it up, but maybe you do. Maybe you look at moving Jeff Samardzija and trying to start
if
over.
Your
again
ownership almost. Of this team, how do you feel about this? Because really you're all in. You've thrown all of your everything's in a basket, and you're the first team to leave. What I mean, something has to give there, right?
Yeah. No, by the way, before I answer that, crack research staff, Travis McKenzie, Alex Rios is the active leader now. Most games played in the majors, though, to postseason appearance, 1,586. So there you go, Alex Rios, former Blue Jay, the leader. If I'm Oakland's management, the one thing that might concern me, and Joel Sherman of the New York Post tweeted this out, you may want to take a look at the fact as well that you're 1-13 in elimination games.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the first time that they've come up short. But further to your point, I mean, I like Bob Melvin, the manager. I think Bob Melvin does a great job taking advantage of the things that he has. I love the way he and I know you don't like platoons, but the fact is he's got a general manager who sticks him with platoons all over the place, and he manages to make it work. I think if you're the owner, you say to Billy Bean, look, you went all in to try to win this thing. You went all in when you were in first place. It wasn't like you went all in to try to make the playoffs. You're in first place. You got to make a call here. Yeah. I don't think you build on this. I think you sit back and look at it and go, you know what? We've given away a lot of our farm system to get these guys. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Let's try to replenish the farm system again.
To me, the reason why they lost, bottom line, is they're not a very good defensive team. I mean, you can say what you want about scoring runs and all those things, but when it gets playoff time, you have to stop what the other team does the best, and they can't do that yesterday. That's why they got beat, is because KC was running all over the place. So, to me, the first place you have to look is making that better. Make your defense better, and then go figure out how you score runs, because they have pitching. And even if everybody else leaves, they still have Gray. Yeah. Gray's a very good pitcher.
They'll be okay. They'll be competitive without Jeff Samardzija.
But you can't be second to last in Major League Baseball in fielding percentage and expect to win in the playoffs. Just not going to happen.
Should mention, by the way, Andrew Baggerly of CSN Bay Area is going to join us at 12:40. We'll get you set for tonight's NL wildcard game between the Pirates and the Giants at PNC Park. We'll have the game on Sportsnet Ontario and on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But before we do that, I promised you could have your say here.
It's a short say, really.
Before we do that, Major League Baseball announced today that it is going to put in place experimental pace of game initiatives in the Arizona Fall League. And for those of you who aren't familiar, the Arizona Fall League is a league in Arizona that plays during the fall. It's a league. Major League Baseball teams send a lot of their top prospects, guys who've had a little taste of the majors or guys who have yet to have a taste of the majors, to the Arizona Fall League. And each team, usually there will be three major league teams contributing to one particular Arizona Fall League team. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a proving ground for managers, for prospects. If you're somebody that baseball teams think is going to be a star eventually, you're going to play in the Arizona Fall League. So Major League Baseball is enacting a series of pace of game initiatives. They'll be game tested during the 2014 Fall League. These are the rules. There's a batter's box rule. The batter shall keep at least 1 foot in the batter's box throughout his at-bat unless one of a series of established exceptions occurs, foul balls, foul tips, yada, yada, in which case the batter may leave the batter's box, but not the dirt area surrounding home plate. I'll let you have your say about that in a minute. No pitch intentional walks. In other words, if I'm a manager and I'm going to intentionally walk a guy, I'm going to look at the home plate umpire. I'm going to give him four fingers. The guy's going to go to first base. Four pitches won't have to be thrown. There is a 20-second rule. They're just using this at one field only. Which is kind of interesting. There will be clocks displayed in both dugouts behind home plate and in the outfield. And this is to focus on the amount of time between pitches. Rule 8.04 requires a pitcher to deliver the ball to the batter within 12 seconds after he receives the ball with the bases unoccupied. At these games, a pitcher is going to be allowed 20 seconds to throw each pitch. The batter must be in the box prepared for the pitch during the entire 20-second period. If the batter steps out of the box during the 20-second period, the pitcher may deliver the pitch and the umpire may call a strike unless he's first granted time. There's a 205 inning break clock. There will be a maximum 2 minute and 5 second break between innings. Hitters must enter the batter's box by the 1 minute 45 second mark when batters violate this rule, the umpire may call an automatic strike. When batters are set by the appropriate time and the pitchers fail to throw a pitch before the conclusion of the 205 period, the umpire shall call a ball. There will be a 2 minute and 30 change clock and pitching changes. 2 minute and 30 second clock for pitching changes that occur during an inning break. The first pitch must be thrown before the conclusion of the 2 minute and 30 second period, or the umpire shall call a ball. The clock shall start when the new pitcher enters the playing field, in other words, crosses the warning track or foul line. So don't be walking in. They're saying get your ass into the game. There's also the 3-timeout limit. Each team shall be permitted only 3 timeout conferences per game. That includes extra innings. I'm looking at these rules changes. I like putting a clock on the game. My only concern, Kevin, and we'll let you talk about the batter's box. My big concern is we're so focused on pitching injuries right now. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to force guys to throw pitches before they may not be ready for whatever reason. You know, I don't know if I want Aaron Sanchez in his first major league start. Now, and again, this is just in the Arizona Fall League, but let's assume that they're doing this with an eye toward making it happen in the majors at some point. I don't know if I want Aaron Sanchez sitting there going, God, I've only got 40 seconds, 39 seconds. I'm not a fan of that idea. I don't mind the 4-pitch walk thing. I don't mind making batters stay in. I absolutely love putting a limit on mound conferences, and I absolutely love saying, hey, when you come in the game, you got 2 minutes and 30 seconds to get your ass from the dugout to the mound. But I don't know about putting putting a time clock on pitches. I don't know about that.
You just said a lot of things.
I know I did. I need a glass of water because I'm losing my voice.
A lot of rules. It's just, to me, this is getting way too complicated. Baseball is what it is. You can bank on it being a three-hour game. You come to a game, it's 3 hours. It is what it is. All of these things, when I played baseball, they actually had the you have to have 1 foot in the batter's box thing already. So this is not just happen rule. I think they've tried this before. When I was playing, they actually tried this, and I had a lot of problems with this because it's hard enough to hit a baseball as it is, and when you have to – baseball is – especially a guy like myself that was a specialty guy, meaning I came in late in the game and I tried to hit a guy throwing 100, and the last thing I wanted somebody to do was tell me when to get in and out of the box. That's the point. And like you have so many specialty guys that come out of bullpens that want to, you know, are in a game to get a certain guy out of a game and don't want to be told, hey, you got 15 or 25 seconds. Let's go. Move it along. You can't do all of these things. There's so many things. And, oh, by the way, playoff games. You have playoff games. So you're telling me an umpire yesterday in the ninth inning would have told one of these guys, hey, man, you need to get in the batter's box. You just can't do that. It's just it's a fun game. And all of these things are not making the game of baseball, if you play it, fun anymore. Yeah, you want to be in some kind of flow and – you want everything to happen at a certain time, but there's big parts of every game. And yesterday's game's a proven fact that the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the eighth inning, the ninth inning, the 11th inning, the 12th inning were all huge innings for both of these teams. You can't tell a guy, hurry up, make your pitch, hurry up, get in the batter's box. It's just not going to work. People are going to... First of all, umpires have enough things to worry about other than telling a guy, get in the batter's box. You need to hurry up and make this pitch because it's just – it's a very hard game as it is to make it even that much harder. And this is what it's doing.
See, what I think will happen here, and I tend to agree with you. I mean, I don't it used to drive me nuts the way Derek Jeter would step out on every pitch. I think there are ways around that without – enforcing 20 seconds. There are ways around it. If you're an umpire and you think the guy is going...
Let's go, man.
And I think that's what this is geared toward. This is geared toward getting people thinking that. Do I think we'll ever actually see it in a major league game? No. I don't think we'll ever see that. I don't think we'll see a clock telling the pitcher that he has to throw in time. What I do like here, I think we'll see the idea of speeding up pitching changes. It's silly that you come in from the bullpen after you've warmed up and then get more warm-up pitches. Just get a couple to get a feel of the mound. I know that every mound is different. Get a couple to get a feel of the mound. But if you can eliminate the mound conferences, and if you can... I have no problem with the four-pitch walk.
Well, yeah,
What'll happen is there will be, of these rules changes... there'll probably be three of them that are enacted. I don't think you'll ever have a clock saying you got to throw by this point in time and you've got to get in the box by this point in time. I think they're trying to create a sense where players are aware of it. But to me, the only rules changes out of here that we'll see go into the majors are the ones involving the mound conferences, the intentional walk, and the amount of time you're allowed during pitching changes. But I'm with you. I very seldom go to a baseball game, Kevin, and go, oh, man, God, it's going on and on. I budget for 3 hours. That's part of the reason I like it.
I'm just saying there's so many people that have certain roles on a baseball field. Like me, when I played, I was coming in late in the game to face a really guy that throws really hard late in the game. The last thing I want to hear is an umpire telling me to get in the box.
But I think, Kevin, what they're trying to do is create in the player's mind the idea that it's being monitored. I don't know how you would make the 20-second clock work, for example. But I think what they want is to create the idea in every player's mind, I got to get in the box, I got to get in the box, I got to get in the box. But look, it's the one thing we know. The one thing we know about Major League Baseball, in the past 4 years, when it tries stuff, it usually takes those and puts it into the game. And we've seen that. Everything, every quote-unquote advancement that it's tried at different levels, it's taken and put into the big league game. I just don't know about a clock forcing a pitcher to throw in a certain period of time.
I don't. The other problem I have too is it's like these the Arizona Fall League. I played in this league, and it's a very good league, but young players have so many other things worried about, and all these coaches telling them certain things. And I'll give an example, like a Dalton Pompey's going to winter to the Arizona Fall League and actually trying to make a team. We've heard that the next year he's going to have a shot. Based on what he does in the fall league, the last thing he needs to worry about is an umpire telling him to do all of these things. And I think baseball is what it is. It's a great game. People have their certain roles, and it's been done this way forever. And all of a sudden, because it's what's it going to change? It's going to give you an extra half hour. That's pretty much what it's going to be. And again, it gets down to playoff games. Are umpires going to go in a playoff game and tell these guys that every pitch means the world to these teams and every at-bat means the world? Are you going to go and tell these guys, hey, man, hurry up. You got to hurry up. Let's go. It's going to cause tension. It's going to make baseball players go, hey, man, what are you in a hurry?
I think the next step from here, Kevin, is we'll see what happens in the Arizona Fall League. The next step is to try it during spring training. But yeah, I agree. There's some issues here with this, but I at least like the fact that they're trying it and they're going to see if it works. Because one of the things baseball has done far too long. And I mean, look, I don't know. I covered 18 World Series, 16 World Series. You'd go to the World Series without a word of a lie. And at the All-Star break, go to the All-Star break, commissioner's news conference. Pace of game, big issue. We got to do something to speed the game up. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. Go to the World Series. Commissioner does a news conference. Are you worried about the pace of the game? Because every World Series game's going 5 hours. Yes, we're worried about the pace of the game. We know we're losing a young audience because of it. We know that the game is too slow. We got to do something about it. They never do anything about it. Finally, at least, and it's interesting, it's in Bud Selig's last year. Finally, at least, they're saying, all right, we have, whether we think we have a problem, a lot of people are telling us we have a problem. Let's try this. And let's see where it goes.
The last question I would have is, would you want last night's game to be faster? That would be my question.
It's an interesting point.
Would you want it to go faster?
Part of the drama in baseball is created by the pace of the game.
Exactly right.
It is it's a game of the buildup. It's like soccer that way. It's a game. It's all about the buildup. Both soccer and baseball. It's all about the buildup to the eventual event. Speaking of an event, the National League wild card goes tonight at PNC Park. San Francisco Giants against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll have the game at Sportsnet Ontario, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Andrew Baggerly covers the Giants for CSN Bay Area and does such a good job that the Giants players were actually boycotting him late in the season. I'm going to find out if that boycott's still going on. Andrew Baggerly from CSN Bay Area will join us when Baseball Central at Noon continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Hardware, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, for your viewing and listening pleasure on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. The NL wildcard game goes tonight at my favorite park in baseball, PNC Park. Just imagine they'll be scarfing down the Pimenti Brothers sandwiches. Kevin, Pimenti Brothers, they put the fries and the coleslaw in the sandwich.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
With a couple of ice-cold 32-ounce Iron City.
Coca-Colas.
Iron City Lights.
It's a family show, Coca-Colas.
It is the best ballpark in baseball, without question. Anyhow, the Giants and Pirates will get at it tonight. Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the Giants, a good postseason pitcher. Edinson Volquez on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates on a good roll to end the season, an 18-inning scoreless streak. But
does that matter?
I don't know. He gets lit up like a Christmas tree by the Giants, to be honest. So it'll be an interesting matchup. And
well, they don't face him a whole lot, I don't think. I think Hunter Pence is the only guy that's got some at bats.
He's the only guy that's got a lot of at bats.
Yeah, yeah. And average wise, he's not very good, but he hits the ball out of the yard against him.
What do you think is? What do you think this game's going to come down to? Because these are two pretty evenly matched teams. I think so.
I think experience. I think with Bochy, and I think with Buster Posey, I think he's going to have a big game. But Hunter Pence, I just think there's enough playoff experience on the Giants team that, and they don't beat themselves most of the time.
They are. I'm going to take a look here. If I'm not mistaken, they have won their last six elimination games.
So they've been there, done that. That's sort of my point. So
they know how to close. They know how to close things out. And Bruce Bochy is a
manager. Yeah, you can see. You know, last night's game, you can see how important a really good, experienced manager in big spots are.
For the Pittsburgh Pirates, I think you brought up a good point. Russ Martin, of course, the Canadian-born catcher from East York, he missed a couple of games with, well, they're calling it a hamstring pull. There are people around the Pirates who think it's a little more serious than that and that he shouldn't be playing tonight. Of course, Russell Martin is telling everybody he will play tonight.
I think they go if he goes. That's what I think. I think if he contributes and goes out and gets a couple hits, maybe throws a guy out at second base, I think that team will follow their leader. And I think he's obviously, you know, McCutcheon's the all-star and MVP and all that thing. But you have to have that guy that goes to battle every day and is going to stick up for your team. And Russell's, he's definitely the one guy that, you know, brings that sort of that bad boy mentality and saying that the Bucks are here and they're here to stay. It's that kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's had a good year offensively, a better year offensively than a lot of people ever thought he would have. The Giants, as we said, have been here before. They are the masters of winning elimination games. There's really nothing this team hasn't seen. Then they win the World Series every other year for the most part. Andrew Baggerly covers the Giants for CSN Bay Area, and he joins us on Baseball Central at noon. Andrew, thanks so much for doing this. Hey, let me ask you this. Are they talking to you yet?
Thankfully that the freeze out lasted, I think, about 2.5 days. So okay. We're all good. Everybody's happy. Everybody's feeling good. I think Madison Bumgarner said of Yasiel Puig that friendship probably isn't in the cards for them. Well, I don't know if friendship is in the cards for me and Sergio Romo, but everything's good. We're good.
What are you expecting tonight? We were talking a little bit about the Giants and Pirates, and you know, I was just making the point, and you know, I've known you for a while, and I mean, we've seen the Giants play an awful lot. They just know how to do this, don't they? They know how to win these games.
Well, first of all, I'll start with last night. We closed down two bars watching the end of the A's Royals game.
So things haven't changed.
Mm-hmm. I came up with Yost, you only sacrifice twice is my acronym for him. So, as much as you kind of hope that you have a game like that, you know as well as I do, when you're in the press box, that is the last thing you want is a game like that that's going to make you rewrite eight times. So hopefully we have an exciting game with maybe a few less lead changes and we all get out of there. But this is going to be exciting because, as you mentioned, the Giants have – they won six elimination games in 2012, but none of them were coming in, basically where the other team had given up a lead or it was a scenario or a situation where, you know, maybe a team got overconfident because they raced out in front in the series. This is both teams entering with their claws and fangs bared here. They both know their lives are on the line, and the Pirates have the experience of playing in this game last year and winning it, beating Johnny Cueto. So, we're waiting on the Giants roster. I think it's coming out right now, in fact. And so, it's going to be exciting. And to your point about Russell Martin, I heard you just as I was on hold there. I actually made a change in my NL MVP ballot, and I can't really tell you what my ballot is, but I had submitted it, and after I was doing some research on Russell Martin, I wrote a piece, you can find it on CSN Bay Area, about how Russell Martin influenced Buster Posey becoming a Giant, and the link between those two guys. Kind of interesting story that I'll let you find out for yourself. But going in and looking at his numbers, he was 42 plate appearances away from qualifying, and if he qualifies, he and McCutchen are the only guys with a 400 OBP in the National League.
Wow.
He had 360 with runners in runners in scoring position. You know, and of course, threw up 37 runners more than any other catcher in baseball. The only guy with a better caught stealing percentage to start 100 games was Yadier Molina, who's in a class by himself. So I actually took my ballot and I redid it, and I had somebody else 10th. And I took him out, and I put Russell Martin in. I said, he's got to be on my ballot. So I've never done that before, and hopefully they get the change.
Yeah, Andrew, do stats mean anything leading up to this game? Because Hunter Pence has been struggling. Pablo Sandoval has been struggling. How do the Giants score enough runs in this game to win? Because if you're a Pirates player and a fan, you don't want Buster Posey to beat you. So how do the Giants beat the Pirates?
Well, you know, I think actually, even though Sandoval and Pence have been struggling a little bit, you know, in September, you look at what they're able to do with maybe swinging at bad balls. I think I saw a Fangraphs piece, and I love these pieces. It shows the GIFs or GIFs of, you know, the home run that left the bat the fastest and the one on the fastest fastball and the highest pitch and the lowest pitch. Well, Pence hit a homer on the highest pitch anybody in baseball hit all year, and Sandoval hit a homer on the lowest pitch anybody hit all year.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are dangerous in the postseason because, you know, there's no set way you can pitch him that's sort of a fail-safe, you know, where maybe you can just challenge him in one area and let them get themselves out, and if not, you know, put him on base. You know, these guys can hurt you. And then you've got Buster Posey in the middle. And he had a great September, even though he's had a little bit of a back injury here late. So, you know, I think it's an offense that can, you know, sort of bull rush you, even though, mm-hmm. You know, maybe you look at their overall aggregate numbers and they don't jump off the page.
Andrew Baggerly of CSN Bay Area joins us on Baseball Central at noon. How different or similar is this Giants team from the last World Series champion?
I think it's different insofar as the rotation has a lot more cracks. I mean, you know, if you had told me in spring training, Matt Cain's going to have elbow surgery and he won't throw a pitch after the All-Star break, I'd say, well, that's so much for the even year Giants win the World Series thing we've got going on. But, you know, they've got Jake Peavy, and he's been tremendous. He's been probably the best pitching acquisition, better than even Price or Samardzija or Lester, when you look at the ERA and what the teams have done in his starts, and he's the guy. As long as they don't need to use him today, and we'll find out if he's even on the roster. He's the guy who would line up against the Nats in Game One of the NLDS. But you know, Tim Hudson was fantastic in the first half, and he's definitely run out of gas a little bit here in the second half. But now he's got a good you know, week or two of rest, so maybe he's got one more good one in him. You know, Lincecum has not quite figured it out. They know he's going to be a bullpen guy in the postseason, but, you know, apart from an outing here or there, and certainly his no-hitter against the Padres, he's really been out of his delivery, so it's hard to bank on him. There's just a lot more question marks in the pitching staff, and it really has been two different teams this year. The team that started 42-21 and had a 10-game lead in the division, and then the team that played, you know, what was it, under 500 the rest of the way. So, and then they added Joe Panik, they added Andrew Susak, a lot of rookies. And Bruce Bochy, the one knock on him is that he doesn't trust young players. And here he's kind of reshaping that a little bit. He really is trusting some of these guys, and maybe they weren't their first option. Hell, they even tried Dan Uggla for 3 days. But, you know, Panik has been fantastic at 305 as a rookie, shows no fear. I don't think these guys are going to recoil from the moment. And then, of course, Bumgarner has been one of the best pitchers in the National League, and they've got a lot of faith in him. So a different team, and they took a different tack this year because they were just so up and down. But they've been able to weather the storm, and I thought Bochy said it pretty well when he said these guys fight as well as any group that he's managed in terms of being focused forward through this stuff. So, you know, we'll see how far that carries them tonight.
Yeah, Andrew, how does Bruce Bochy go about this game tonight with, I think with the question marks at the closer role in the back end of the bullpen, is he going to take what I'm getting at? Is he going to take Bumgarner as far as he's going to take him, or is he going to have a short leash with him today?
Well, you know, it's funny. I asked him that exact question in the session there yesterday. I said, he's your guy. You've got faith in him. At the same time, you're managing for your life. It's one game. If he gets in trouble early, how patient are you willing to be, knowing that you have other options on your roster? And basically, he gave what I thought was a pretty perfect answer. He said, you know, we do trust him, but we're going to look at the stuff. We know the player. We're going to, you know, look at just how he's performing and how he's doing. And if they feel like he can rebound, then they'll keep him out there. And if they make the evaluation in that moment and those circumstances, that the best move is going to be to operate with a little more sense of urgency and make a change, and they would do that too. So, you know, I think they're going to let the game dictate, and mm-hmm. and that's what a manager should do. Not have any preconceived notions. You know, put your best guys out there that you can cover every eventuality. And you know what, we've seen crazy stuff happen in the first game of the NLDS against the Reds in 2012. Cueto, I think, threw six or eight pitches, tweaked his groin, and he was out mm-hmm. of it. So that's why, you know, maybe you have a PV on the roster. You don't want to use him, but, you know, you've got to cover yourself. So, you know, I think you're going to see Bochy manage with that sense of urgency, do whatever he has to do to get past today, because if you don't do that, there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, who's going to play? Who's going to be this year's Marco Scudero or Angel Pagan? I mean, the guy that just kind of surprises you during the playoffs. The Giants always seem to have that guy that just kind of steps up. Do you have any idea who it might be?
Yeah. Well, you've got Travis Ishikawa, who was the Pirates' opening day first baseman, and he's going to be their starting left fielder tonight, even though until a month ago he'd never played a major league inning in left field. So that's kind of surprising already, and maybe he can wear the Cody Ross mantle. But you know, I would pick Panic. I think he's a guy who can put the ball in play, make things happen, really good bat control. He's got a good eye at the plate. You know, and he's a rookie, so I think that anything he does to contribute will be kind of a mild surprise, because a lot of the country doesn't know his name. So you could start there with him. You know what? There's another guy that you don't see coming, Hunter Strickland. And I wrote a piece about Strickland and John Holtzcombe of the Pirates. Both of these guys took very different roads. You know, one guy was in indie ball. The other guy was rehabbing from Tommy John at the start of the year. They're blowing doors off, both these guys. And Strickland especially is going to be the Giants' closer at some point in the near term. Santiago Casillas throwing the ball very well, and I think he's still the guy in the ninth inning. But you're going to hear a lot about Hunter Strickland. This guy has attitude. He's like a calm, sane version of Brian Wilson with all the intensity. It's kind of like Brian Wilson and Rob Nen put together without a beard or anything like that.
The machine, and he doesn't have a machine like Brian Wilson did, does he?
Well, I'm not going to rule it out. I can't say I know him that well. He's only a rookie, so I don't know what he does in his spare time. But Hunter Strickland, keep an eye on this guy.
Mr. Baggerly, I appreciate you doing this. Say hello to Mr. Shulman for me.
Thanks, Andrew.
I sure will. I'll see him soon enough.
All righty. Take care. That is Andrew Baggerly, covers the Giants for CSN Bay Area. He's got a terrific piece up on CSN's website about Russell Martin and Buster Posey, and kind of an interesting tie between the two of them. That's it for us today on Baseball Central at Noon. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget the National League wildcard tonight. San Francisco Giants at Pittsburgh Pirates, 7:30 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario, and right here in Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For Andrew Baggerly and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us today on Baseball Central at Noon. We shall return tomorrow, and we'll be brought to you once again by Home Hardware. Take care, everybody.